This is a Building Resilience Podcast, episode 182, Slow It Down. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. I am just finishing up a coaching certification program. I love to learn. I'm sure you've heard that before. I joke with my husband that I'm essentially partially retired because when I retire, what I would want to do is take courses and trainings and certifications, which is what I'm doing anyway now. And I do a lot of self-learning as well. So it's not just courses and trainings. I love reading. I love watching videos. I love doing all things. Now, as part of this course that I am taking, this certification, I have to submit notes and insights on 20 different sessions of people that I coach on. It's kind of like a metacognitive approach, asking like what went well in the session, what would I want to improve on, what insights do I have? And as I've been writing the notes, I had written them in my planner. Yes, I have a paper planner and a paper and agenda, and I will forever be an advocate for paper products because it's actually a different way that you're using your brain when you do something on paper versus doing something online. Little side note. I was transferring it to a spreadsheet that I have to use to submit all my comments. And I noticed how many times my reflections, my insights were to slow things down. There is no rush. Now, when my kids were younger, I used to do a quote of the week and it went up on our kitchen bulletin board. And I always blogged about the quote too. And then we would discuss the quote together during our family nights. And every week I would swap out the quote in the kitchen. And at the end of the year, the month of December, I'd put up all the quotes from the whole year and everybody would go through and pick their favorite one. It was kind of a fun tradition. Well, right before my son Zach went on his mission for our church, like 5 years ago, he was really big into the Lumineers, and they have this song called Slow It Down, and he played it over and over. And when I would drive my kids anywhere, they always take over the music still to this day if they're in the car with me. So it was a song that I heard a lot. And then my kids often help me make playlists. And I actually make a playlist for one of my closest friends every single year of what I'm listening to this year. And so it has a lot of influence from what my kids are sharing with me. And so this song, Slow It Down, made it onto my playlist. I decided that I was going to make a quote right before Zach went on his mission about it. So I wrote it out. It's not even a quote, really, but I just wrote Slow It Down. Everybody talked about what it meant for them. And for some reason, that quote, I've never taken down. It's still in the kitchen on my bulletin board. I think because it really serves as a big reminder for me to slow things down. I am someone who's spent a lot of time on Team Hyper. It for sure is my second home. But in the past few years, and certainly the past 5 years since the time I put up that quote, I really have worked on slowing things down. And that's what I want to talk about today. So this really is an episode for me. As I learn so much as I prepare these episodes. And it is for you if you're somebody who maybe spends a lot of time in Team Hyper, or if you're somebody who struggles with maybe chronic illness or chronic pain, because often the rushing, the quickness, the intensity can lead to some dysregulation. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not criticizing quickness or efficiency or speed. Often people think that I am saying you need to get out of Team Hyper to spend more time in regulation, which is kind of true. But what is really more accurate is you need to get anchored in safety in your zone of resilience. You can still add energy. In fact, the mixed state of play is exactly that. It's Team Hyper mixed with safety. This is where you are productive and you're in flow. and you're efficient and you can perform and play and there is energy there. So I'm not trying to say don't have the energy or the quickness ever, but a healthy nervous system can go up and down and in and out and not get stuck. It knows how to speed up. It knows how to slow down. It knows how to get things done and it knows how to do nothing. And it wraps it all in like the warmth and blanket of safety. Slowing down. I'm not trying to lower your efficiency, but I am suggesting we can stop acting as if something is constantly chasing us. Stop rushing to get going in the morning, rushing to get to work, rushing to get dinner on the table, rushing to catch the light. How much time are you actually saving? I often think of that guy rushing in traffic to get past me, to get the light, weaving in and out, only to what kind of saves 2 minutes, maybe? Or not even, they end up beside me at the next light. And maybe it's not even a physical rush, but maybe you have a mental rush, a rush to get to the next task, the next project, the next goal, a rush to meet the goal, a rush to think of a solution, a rush to fix the problem, even a rush to heal your nervous system, a rush to get better, a rush to get out of pain or overcome an illness. I get the rush, but the rush to get through the pain of a divorce, a rush to graduate, a rush to retire. Notice the rush in your life, that physical and mental. We are often buzzing around. And I will admit, I know I am. My husband, 1 year years ago, gave me this little bee necklace because he said, I'm like a busy bee. Actually, he even said it's a bee with a motor. So you see, I do have a need to slow things down. And my husband is a slower guy. He stops to take things in. He has the nerve sometimes to actually sit down to have breakfast. And I'm kind of kidding. This has bugged me in the past, but he's rubbed off on me now. And I will more often than not actually sit to eat or have a drink. Whereas I used to be on the go so much more. So we want to stop acting like we are the Home Alone family running through the airport all the time, racing to get everywhere. And there are really good reasons why you want to slow it down for your overall health, your mental and physical health, for your relationships with yourself, with others, and for your overall quality of life. So let's get a little bit more specific why rushing is not a great thing. Stephen Covey used to say, fast is slow and slow is fast. When you're rushing around, trying to take shortcuts the fastest way possible, often what happens is you make mistakes. And you may then get discouraged and want to quit. And often you do quit because you burn yourself out. So essentially going fast means you are taking the long way, the slow way. But when you are slow, when you take your time, you pace yourself, you show up consistently every day, guess what happens? You slowly move the needle. Things get accomplished. Things get done. Changes happen. Big, fast leaps rarely are the ticket. Small, consistent, slow steps is where growth actually happens. Going fast is often going to take you on the path to burnout. Slow it all down. Now, secondly, when you're rushing around, you are fueling your need to rush around. It's like you're fueling a stress monster. Rushing actually leads to heightened stress levels. It keeps us stuck in team hyper. And what happens when we're stuck in team hyper? Our body cannot sustain it. So we end up having symptoms, digestive challenges, headaches, and so many other stress-related problems. Now, thirdly, similar to what I mentioned about fast being slow and slow being fast, when you rush, you are more likely to have a hard time concentrating because your brain is constantly jumping around quickly, which can lead you to making mistakes, and then you're going to feel frustrated, and that will decrease your productivity. Now, the fourth reason we want to slow things down is when you are rushing, you can even get sloppy with things like making decisions. You may not hear things properly. You may not read things properly. You may not think things through if they do need some thought. So you end up making poor decisions. And this all does tie into being in team hyper too. When you're in team hyper, your access to your CEO, who is in charge of your decision making, is limited. So you may end up making decisions that are not the best decisions and can even have long-term impact. This can impact everything down to like financial mistakes, investments that you make, to mistakes that can cause an accident, things that can have a much bigger impact. So slowing down is so helpful. Now, the fifth reason, let's not forget about the impact on relationships. If you're rushing through interactions with loved ones, that can strain relationships. It can lead to misunderstandings. For example, constantly rushing through conversations with a partner may make them feel unheard or unappreciated. You can miss the details, and then you'll be asking questions about things that were already covered. And then you can feel like you're not even important enough for somebody else to slow down for. So remember, the speed of our interactions is always sending a message to our partner in our conversation. The sixth reason, there can be physical health effects, like an increased risk of heart disease and a weakened immune system. For example, rushing through meals can actually lead to poor digestion and nutrient absorption. It actually can lead to choking and put people at risk. Now, for the first 5 years of my career as a speech pathologist, I worked at a hospital, and my main role dealt with swallowing. And I can't tell you how many times patients would be rushing through their meals, or nurses and support workers rushing to feed patients. And it was usually because someone was telling them that they had to rush to get all their work done. So it was a constant push and rush on everyone, and it actually put them at risk physically. So slowing down is beneficial for your physical health as well. And lastly, life, it's just less enjoyable. You miss the small things. You don't even notice what you miss. You miss the taste of food, the beauty of the sky, the smell of lilacs, which is my absolute favorite flower to smell, the sound of birds. You miss so many things that can bring quality into your life when you're just rushing through and speeding through. Those are some of the reasons why we want to avoid rushing. And I'm sure there are more even that you can think of. But overall, if we reduce our rushing, if we slow it down, it does go hand in hand with better health, better relationships, better quality of life. So now you may be thinking, how do you stop rushing? Let's just make it easy. Just do it. Just slow down. And I'll give you, of course, a few more steps. So first thing I'm going to offer is start prioritizing things. Sounds super basic, but start by prioritizing your tasks and responsibilities. Identify what's most important and focus on completing those tasks first. This can help reduce the feeling of being overwhelmed and decrease the need to rush through everything. So start with something small or something that is prioritized as important to you. The second thing you can do, it kind of leads in from prioritization into time management. Practice effective time management techniques, such as setting realistic deadlines, breaking tasks into smaller manageable steps, and utilizing tools like calendars and to-do lists. This can help you allocate your time more efficiently and prevent last-minute rushing. Now, thirdly, single tasking. This one can feel like a bit counterintuitive. Instead of multitasking, focus on completing one task at a time with full attention and concentration. This actually can improve productivity, can reduce errors, can prevent the need to rush through multiple tasks simultaneously. Now, your brain is a single task brain. When you multitask, you end up doing pretty much a bad job with both things, or, you know, a less great job, if I can use that language. If you're going to multitask, I'll give you this. Make sure you pair it with something that is almost automatic, with something that does require more energy and effort. Don't try to do two big tasks together, because you will lessen the efficiency. You will do a bad job with both of them. Fourth, mindfulness practice. Slow it down. Get more mindful. Practice slowness. Incorporate mindfulness practices into your daily routine. So part of your daily practice, things like meditation, deep breathing exercises, or mindful walking. And practice these deliberately during your practice and training. And then try to implement more mindfulness during the day. Slow down drinking your water, or walking up the stairs, or eating your lunch, or washing your hands. Eat more mindfully. Listen more mindfully. Speak more mindfully. Scan your body more mindfully, breathe more mindfully. And if you're doing the three steps to self-regulation that I talk about, asking yourself, am I safe? Do I feel safe and acutely relaxing? Do that more mindfully throughout the day. Mindfulness overall helps reduce stress, increase focus, and promotes a sense of calm, making it easier to avoid rushing through tasks. Now, the fifth thing that you can do is set boundaries. This may not seem like a way to slow things down, but it is a way to sometimes bring things to a grinding halt. Learn to say no to additional commitments when your plate is already full. Setting boundaries with others and prioritizing your own well-being is crucial. When you have less on your plate, you have more time to do the things that matter more slowly and mindfully because you're not trying to squeeze in a bunch of things you don't really want to do. The sixth thing is build healthy habits. Now, this comes back to our everyday practice and training. Get your body and your mind in shape with healthy habits. Change your habits. Prioritize those foundational pillars: regular exercise, nutritious eating habits, adequate sleep, and relaxation activities. Taking care of your physical health can improve your mental being and provide you with the energy and resilience needed to avoid rushing. The seventh thing is practice patience. Cultivate patience in your daily life by accepting that not everything will go according to plan and that some things will take time. In fact, most things don't go as planned. So anticipate that. Decide ahead of time that when things don't go as planned, it's not a reason to stop moving forward. It's a detour. It's like hitting a red light on your path. Doesn't mean you have to stop doing things, but it can mean this last one of number eight, reflect and adjust. Sometimes we do need to reflect on what we're doing and think and adjust and pivot and reframe things. We do need to calm our nervous system, change our thoughts, find thoughts that serve us better. Take a different action. Sometimes just taking action, regardless of what is going on. Reflect on your habits and routines. Identify areas where rushing tends to occur. And then adjust your approach accordingly by implementing strategies to reduce the rushing in those specific areas. So those are just a few tips. There is truly no reason to rush. And there is no rush to stop rushing either. Just pick one thing and try to slow it down. And as you do this, you will really start to feel a little bit more calm, a little bit more relaxed. You will likely start to enjoy the smaller things. You'll be more present in your activities and with others. Your thinking skills will improve, your relationships will improve with yourself and with others, and your quality of life, your overall health, physical, mental, spiritual, will improve. So let me know how it goes. I hope you found this helpful, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.